Grace and peace be multiplied among us by our Savior Jesus, who stands in our midst, who invites us to come to him and be filled with his love and his truth. Amen. The text for today is this Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah 26, which Marge read just a minute ago, which I repeat just the last little bit of, the end of verse 15, where the prophet speaks, "For in truth the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears. In truth the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." This is our text. Please be seated. It's not just what we say, but it's how we say it. That's no secret to those of you who have learned how to communicate with words all your lives. It's not just what you say, but it's always how you say it. Imagine the simple change in your tone of voice. If you were saying a simple phrase like, "I can't help you anymore. I can't help you anymore." Well, what if that was spoken between two soldiers lying on the battlefield, one who had been carrying the other, but they were both at the point of death and laying on the battlefield, dying in their last moments, one soldier says to the other, "I can't help you anymore." That would sound different. The way that you say things matters. It would sound different, for instance, compared to perhaps an employee at the motor vehicle branch, who at 1:01, as you step up to the kiosk, puts your closed sign right in front of you and says, "I can't help you anymore." How you say things matters. The contents of our heart become visible as we speak and use words. Imagine a frustrated parent sitting at a crafting table with a toddler as the glue and the popsicle sticks and the glitter threaten to take over. Standing up from that table and saying, "I can't help you anymore." The way you say things matters, and your heart is visible through your words. We have to ask, therefore, when we hear the prophet Jeremiah speaking this hard message of repentance and judgment of impending doom to God's people, we have to ask, what was his tone of voice? But what was in his heart as he was delivering God's words? What was in the prophet's heart? What was, more importantly, in God's heart as he sent these urgent messages calling to attention the hearts of his people who had been ignoring his voice for generations? It wasn't just what was said, but how it was said that matters so much. What was in Jeremiah's heart and in God's heart as this message came to God's people? Well, to understand the reading that we heard from chapter 26, beginning at verse 8, you might have noticed that the very first verse we heard, when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded to him, there's something that came just before this, a message that he spoke, some instructions, specific words from God. And what was that message? Well, if you back up a little bit and look at verse 2, chapter 26, verse 2, you hear these instructions to Jeremiah. God had said to him, "Stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship. Do not hold back a word." And then this verse, which reveals God's heart, verse 3, "It may be they will listen." "It may be they will listen," said God to Jeremiah. "And everyone turn from his evil way, that I may relent of the disaster that I intend to do to them because of their evil deeds." A little bit later, in verse 4 and 5 and 6, Jeremiah then delivered God's word, his message, with these specific words. "Thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me, to walk in my law that I have set before you, to listen to the words of my servants, the prophets whom I send to you urgently, if you will not listen to me, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse for all the nations of the earth." It was a message of urgent, pressing judgment. It was a message of impending doom. But it came from a place of deep care, of compassion, of knowing that the people needed to hear it. We're reflecting today on the message of Jeremiah. It's helpful to understand a little bit about his time. When we think about the prophet and read the book of Jeremiah, we have to put it in its historical context. And if you've perhaps studied that period of biblical history, you know that that was a very troubled time for God's people. The kingdom of Israel and Judah, they had been separated by conflict, civil war. Those two kingdoms were collapsing internally. The society was falling apart. It was under very mixed leadership. Good kings alternating with very bad kings, leading God's people astray, and chasing after all kinds of practices which God had warned his people about repeatedly. Things like idolatry, serving the gods of the land, trying to ensure that your crops would grow by worshiping the idols that the other people who lived in that land had been worshiping for ages and generations. Not just idolatry, but oppression, one person over another, taking advantage of each other in the marketplaces using unfair measures, and especially in the practice of slavery. Even more than that, God's people had been defiling his presence in the temple through their unrepentant hearts. That kind of false worship that represents ourselves one way, but really inside we're another way altogether. For the sickness of their souls, the society's corrupt ways, God had warned the people that there was a disaster coming. And this was Jeremiah's message. It's not a very enviable position to be in, that task of a prophet bringing bad news. And yet, as we read and as we hear about Jeremiah's life, we see a prophet in grief for his beloved people. Prophet tearing his clothes and putting ashes on his head, in a sign of repentance and grief, trying to get his people's attention. And therefore we see love. Not just judgment, not just even truth on its own, but love. And Jeremiah spoke the truth in love. Now, that phrase comes to us in the New Testament. It's in Ephesians 4, 15, 16, where the Apostle Paul describes the life of a Christian, a follower of Jesus. In these words, speaking the truth in love, Paul writes, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Speaking the truth in love. It's an easy thing to say, but how to do it, how to live it. I wonder, as we hear about Jeremiah's reality, the realities of society and its idolatries, its oppression, even its falsehood in worship, how we think about our own society these days. What might be falling apart in the world around you as you come in contact and build relationships with many people, even apart from their faith? How do you see the world coming apart in 2019? And I wonder sometimes if you would feel a burden of trying to stand up for the truth, of trying to represent what God is, the way, the truth, and the life in the midst of our society, trying to inspire people to have faith and to investigate a solid footing. I wonder if sometimes you feel a burden, like Jeremiah might have, to bring people back to the truth. Well, how do we do that? How do we do it without becoming judgmental write-offs, those who are ignored because they have no love? Well, dear friends, it's very simple. We communicate so much more than our words. And to speak the truth in love, we simply need to love. This is the first and simplest requirement of becoming a messenger of God's good news. It's to truly love the people that we're speaking to. The trick is, speaking the truth in love takes very careful balance. It takes patience and restraint. Many times, what comes first to mind is not necessarily what might be the best. And so our message of love through Jesus must be carefully, patiently crafted. In fact, it's not something that we craft ourselves, but that God does in us. There is a major difference between Jeremiah's day and our day. Jeremiah's people looked forward to a distant promise, the promise of a Messiah who would come, who would rescue God's people from their sins, who would make an end of all pain and suffering through his own pain and suffering through his sacrifice. But they did not see the full revelation of Jesus' work, his life, death, and resurrection like we do. We live in a much different time, and so speaking the truth in love is really about pointing to Jesus. And if we ever lose our way, we have the record, the written record of the gospel message in the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, which Jeremiah's people could only look forward to. And yet there is still that need to be balanced. How can it be? How can it come about for us even today? I suggest to you that it's not all that much different than how it was for Jeremiah. Jeremiah listened, and then Jeremiah spoke. Jeremiah was filled up with the compassion of God himself, and then Jeremiah unloaded that compassion in words of truth to his people. It's not that different for us today. So I invite you, as I come to the end, and invite you then to take with you this message of truth, speaking the truth in love, this challenge, this invitation to follow in Jesus' way. I invite you to examine your heart, to truly search your heart for the love of God filling you up. As we go out into the world, as we recognize its problems, as we think about the various ways which people have gone off track, not just all those people out there and in a faraway place across oceans, but the people in our own family, as we go out into the world filled with God's truth, being able perhaps at least in a way to see it in his presence today in worship, I invite you also to be filled with love that motivates you to speak the truth in that love. We go out into the world bearing the best news that there is. And as we come up to people who just don't seem to be interested, do we care? Do we care for them? A pastor and teacher whom I respect very greatly once put it this way: most people can't listen to you until they have felt your love. Most people won't listen to you until you have cared for them in some special way. So, dear friends, if we are interested in speaking good news, in proclaiming the message of Jesus and his salvation, which we have enjoyed, do we do so with hearts that are full of love? Can we go out bearing that love into a world that needs to know it? Jesus cared for you. Before you ever heard a message of repentance from him, he had died for your sins and risen to new life. Jesus has taken care of you. And he invites you each day, each week, to come into his presence and to be filled up again with his Spirit, that living water which sustains our souls and which sends us out into the world full of joy. Jesus has cared for you and calls you, therefore, to be filled up with that same love which is made mature in his presence as we grow up into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow up so that it builds itself up in love. This is God's work through Jesus in our community today. May it be your work too, even as you go from this place, proclaiming his glory and living his love. Amen.